Talk radio made for the 99% on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM.
Putin is paranoid. Putin is angry, and he is isolated. All Russian athletes in all sports now have been banned and told to stand down. I'm talking about things like the Olympics, things like the World Cup, soccer. Soccer is the most popular sport in the world, largely because so many people play it. And that's largely because not everybody has the money we do to build stadiums and do basketball and football and baseball. If you're just hanging around a dusty lot, all you need is a soccer ball. And you have billions of people playing soccer. More people watch the World Cup final by a long shot than the Super Bowl. It's a very big deal. The Ruskies are not welcome. They're pariahs. Get out of here. Russian conductors, pianists, and violinists, get out of here. We don't want you in our orchestra. And I don't take any pleasure out of this. And these are very typically ones that are pro-Putin and side with Putin. Wayne Gretzky, God bless him, the greatest hockey player in history, just came out and attacked the war against Ukraine. Turns out his ancestor, his name is Gretzky, go back to Belarus and Ukraine. But anyway, wherever they go back to, I don't care. It's a war crime. And here is the deep fear, is that Putin is realizing he may not be able to win a ground war against Ukraine, which will make him look very bad. Now, if a U.S. president looked bad, he just gets beaten in the next election. If a Russian oligarch fascist dictator like Putin looks, quote, bad, end quote, he gets shipped out in a pine box. Some other rat, some other plague-bearing rat like him who wants the power, they'll bump him off. They will bump him off. He can only look successful. One way to do it, and this is something they could do, I mean, obviously they could drop a nuclear weapon on Ukraine. Don't think they'll do that. But they can bring conventional ordnance and just stand back on the Russian side and just continuously bombard the cities with cluster bombs and level them. If you take a look at some of the pictures in the Second World War, take a look at Dresden in Germany right after the bombing. Take a look at parts of London after that bombing. Of course, take a look at Hiroshima and Nagasaki after that bombing, although those were nuclear weapons. If an advanced technological culture wants to level a city, it can do it. It can do it. And basically kill everybody. There are 40 million people in Ukraine. But there's still 2.5 million people left in Kyiv. And Kharkiv is the second largest city. And the question is, that's genocide. The question is, and I posed this question yesterday, I'm going to pose it every day. Do we intervene militarily to stop a genocide? We did not in Rwanda. We did not in Cambodia. We finally did in Bosnia. But after a while, the Croatians have been under terrible attack. I visited Croatia. I sailed up on a cruise from Budapest through Croatia, Serbia, Bulgaria, Romania. And some of the towns along the Danube in Croatia still have bullet holes in the shops. I mean, you walk into a shop to buy like postcards or a souvenir, there are bullet holes. I'm talking about this would have been a couple of years ago. And I said, well, why don't you guys repair that and fill them in? She said, no, we're not going to do that. We want the world to remember. So the question is, when do you intervene to stop a genocide? What if Hitler had had nuclear weapons? And frankly, if it had been 20 years later, he would have had nuclear weapons. What do you do? Here's another uncomfortable question. Right now, Sweden and Finland are not in NATO. They thought it'd be cool not to be in, to be neutral in all this. But Finland has an 850-mile border with the Ruskies. And the Finns are very cocky because during the Second World War, initially, when Russia tried to invade them, when they were hooked up, the Soviet Union tried to invade them, they were hooked up with Hitler before Operation Barbarossa, where Hitler turned around and stabbed Stalin. The Ruskies drove him back. The Finns drove him back. How'd they drive him back? There were all these spidery things and these skis coming down dressed in white. You couldn't see them coming like bullets down the mountain. You've seen them ski jump in the Olympics. They're unbelievable, wonderful. And they can apparently shoot machine guns while they're in midair, all this sort of stuff. And the Ruskies got driven back. But I got some news for the Finns. Nuclear weapons are different. Modern ordnance is different. Hypersonic missiles are different. You should have gotten into NATO. And the same with Sweden. They think, oh, well, we're over there, so we're going to get all the benefits of NATO and not pay the price. Well, what happened is Putin has threatened Finland and Sweden, said if you try to join NATO, there'll be a military response. Finland, with the 850-mile border, gave an equivocal answer. Sweden just flat out said it's up to us, but they haven't applied to join NATO. Now, Poland has a border with Belarus, which is now being gobbled up by Russia, and Poland's in NATO. If Poland weren't in NATO, they might try that. They might try to invade Poland. They may anyway, but they have the United States behind them now. Poland does. But here's the deal. Why? You and I know that if the Russians went in and genocided Finland and Sweden, NATO would react, even though they're not members. Why is it that NATO will not intervene to stop a genocide in Ukraine? I think part of it is right now there have been conventional forces coming in. The Russians have lost 5,400 men dead in, what is that, 5 days? 4 or 5 days from February 24? More dead than entire Chechenian war from 94 to 96? As long as it's kept at that level, that's one thing. But cluster bombs have destroyed apartments in Kharkiv, and a missile has hit the downtown square in Kharkiv, killing people. There are kids being killed. There was a family shopping in a grocery store in Kharkiv yesterday. I don't know if you saw the video. It was awful. And they have a 9-year-old daughter. Husband and wife and 9-year-old daughter. They didn't want to leave her home by herself, so they brought her along while they went shopping. They're putting stuff in their cart, and a missile hit the grocery store and killed a 9-year-old girl. See, this is genocide. This is not going after military types. This is going after kids. This is genocide. And then how, when Hitler in this case has nuclear weapons, how do you stop it? What would you do in Finland and Sweden? I think you should do the same thing in Ukraine. And here's what it is. I'm going to repeat it because it's very important. Game theory in the World Series of Poker, Texas Hold'em, is if you go all in, no one can see your cards, you go all in, the other guy has to have a mind-busting hand. It can't just be a very good hand because there's too much risk. You've put it out there. Well, this is a series of all-ins. Putin said, I'm going into Ukraine, and if you intervene, there will essentially be a nuclear response. He covertly signaled that. He went all in, so the West didn't intervene. Then Biden went all in, and he said to Putin publicly, if you go into a NATO country, we're going to respond against you militarily. That's going all in. That's going all in. Well, right now, I think the way to do it is to go all in again in a restrained way. You just say, we said we wouldn't go in because Ukraine's not a NATO country. But genocide is different. And if we think that there is genocide and you're bringing in these vacuum bombs that suck the air out of people's lungs and you're killing 9-year-old kids in grocery stores, we will intervene to stop a genocide. So stop genocide in Ukraine. Then you sit back. Then Putin has to think, okay, if I keep up cluster bombing apartments, they'll go in and they have put me all in. It's more complicated than that. It's important we're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
He ain't wrong, he's just different, but his pride won't let him.